Okay, so that's page 1073, starting at verse 24, the bottom right-hand side. Okay. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment.
Thank you, Jamie. Keep your Bible open there at page 1073. If you've not got a Bible in front of you, just kind of try and look over your shoulder or sit with someone sat next to you so you can see those words. For those of you who are just joining us this evening for the first time, we've got a little series going. We started it a year ago looking in John's Gospel. We did the first four chapters then. This autumn we're looking at chapter 5 and chapter 6, which are quite detailed conversations actually that the Lord Jesus had with some folks who didn't really want to take on board what he had to say. And so we're in the middle actually of some quite detailed conversation. But I hope, even if you are just here for the evening, I hope you'll better catch on to what's being said. I hope that you'll be able to understand it, and I hope that it will be clear for you, as Matt prayed a moment ago. I hope that we actually do understand what God has to say through the Bible properly. I think one of the key verses in this whole section of this conversation actually is verse 17. So if you just cast your eye back to verse 17 there. In verse 17, Jesus is talking about work. And it's on the back of something that he did on the Sabbath, where the day you're not supposed to work as a Jew. He'd gone and healed this fella. That's earlier on in the chapter, so the chapter starts. He healed this fella on the Sabbath. Some bloke said, "Oh, you know, you've gone and fixed this guy. He's been an invalid for, you know, best part of four decades, but you did it on the Sabbath, so, you know, you naughty man." And it ended up being a bit of a ding-dong about work and rest. And Jesus said, "Well, actually, that is my work. My work is rescue. I'm into saving people, rescuing people from rest and freedom." And that made some of these guys really uptight with him. So Jesus actually says, look, in verse 17, "My Father is working until now." And he's all about bringing people into his rest, into his Sabbath rest. That's what Sabbath is all about. It's all about resting with God. It's what heaven's a great picture of heaven. Rest with God forever. I love holidays, and that's kind of like what we're looking forward to. Is long time, good times with God. Be a Christian hedonist. And that's what Jesus says. "My Father is working until now for your rest." And Jesus says, "I am working. I'm about rescue and rest," is what Jesus says. But it's about work is what he's saying. It actually makes this section of John's Gospel actually relevant to every single one of us here tonight. If we're going to, you know, just realizing that this is about God and God's work, makes this little section of John absolutely relevant to every single one of us here this evening. For the Christian, God has revealed us to himself, and he's told us basically here what his work is. And at bottom line, I'm a Christian, and other Christians here, as a Christian, you want to live in a way that pleases God, don't you? You actually want to be living your life on the same track that God is on. And so to understand what God spends his time doing, what he gives his energy to, what his work is kind of helpful, isn't it? Well, if I know his work, then I will slot in with that. So if I can understand God's work, that's where I can be. So this is relevant for Christians. It's also relevant for interested inquirers as well, who at some stage will ask the question, well, who is God? What's he like? What's his character? What does he do? Tell me about him. And if you tell me about him, how do I know that that's true about him? Well, if this is about what God does, then it will tell us an awful lot about what he spends his time doing, what he's all about. And also it tells us a little bit of how we can know that to be the case. And so this passage, this little conversation as it unfolds here in the little section that we had, we looked at, it really is relevant to us all who are here this evening. So they're the questions to begin to get. They are there. We've already looked at some of them, those of us who've been looking at this passage earlier on in this autumn already. But well, we're just looking at that little section that Jamie read for us. And I just shape things a little bit around verse 24. It's another sort of link, sort of like a hinge really, in the conversation is this verse 24 with some of the things that are said before and some of the things that are said afterwards. And the first thing that I just want to draw out, now, I want to be as simple and straight really as possible, it's about work. The first point is this: the Son's work, God the Son's work is this: he is the judge who frees us from judgment. He is the judge who frees us from judgment. That's precisely what verse 24 says. Look at it with me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come under judgment, but has passed over from death into life. Back in verse 22, Jesus has said that God the Father has given him, God the Son, responsibility as judge. And in verses 28 to 29, Jesus explains that he is the one to whom every single person who has ever lived, every single person who will ever live, is ultimately accountable to. So we've already heard earlier on in the conversation, the Father says, actually, that I've given the responsibility of judgment to my Son Jesus. And in verses 28, 29, we find Jesus actually owning that. And he says, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs, basically everybody, is talking about the final day of judgment, will hear his voice, come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And I think the good and the evil there, so that we don't sort of rip out things out from their Bible context, I think and out of the context here in John as well, actually, Jesus, I think, is referring there to the good and evil, actually referring to the way that we can either honour or dishonour Jesus, back in verse 23. That all may honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. And so it's actually saying, it's actually rebellious and evil to dishonour Jesus, to disobey him, to not listen to him. And the way you respond to Jesus, is actually the way you're responding to the Father. You know, you're spitting in his face. And no, do good, honour the Son, which is honouring the Father. That's what he's saying there. What he's saying ultimately, the end game is that there will come a time when everyone will face Jesus. He is judge, and so Jesus is he's strikingly contrasting, isn't he, with a lot of popular thought, which is often influenced by some of the major Eastern religions that say that life is kind of an endless cycle that goes on and on and on. Well, Jesus actually said, well, no, life is not a cycle that goes on and on and on. It's linear. It's going towards a certain point and it will end. There will come a time when it will be Judgment Day. And when we look into the face of the judge on that day, we'll be looking into the face of Jesus Christ. We'll be looking into his face, is what Jesus is saying here. There is ultimate accountability. Now, I just want to suggest to every single one of us here today that if we're honest and on heart, we know that day will come, whether we're Christians or not. If we're honest with our conscience, we know and we will admit that a day of judgment will come. In actual fact, if we're really honest, we think it's right that a day of judgment should come. The reason why I think that we can see this all around is it's the reason why the first words that we actually string together as children is, it's not fair. It's a cry for justice, isn't it? It's the reason why, in any football stadium, the one of the most common shouts is, referee! Because we want a bit of justice. We want to see it done right. It's there all the way through. It's the reason why we get uptight when we see injustice in the world. We get really uptight when we see really bad justice going on. We get really angry if we're on the receiving end of it. We do need judgment. I mean, imagine a world in which, you know, the Hitlers actually got away with it. That's terrible, isn't it? We know it's there. I think, you know, talking sensibly and honestly, I think we know this to be true. We know it to be the case. It is said, there's a future tense there in verse 28, 29. Jesus said, an hour is coming when that judgment day will happen. That's the future, but in the present, what's Jesus' work in the present? He's actually talking about what he does now, before that judgment day, which is like it says on the screen there. He's about rescuing people. He's the judge who rescues, frees people from that day of judgment. There's actually a present tense, there's a nowness in verses 25 and 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here. Here, this is the moment, now, when the dead will hear the voice, and we're going to hear the voice of Jesus on judgment day when you raise everyone to judgment, but there's a day now when people hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. And as I read those words, these are the words of Jesus. We're hearing his voice now, today, this evening. Hear his voice saying, listen to me and let me rescue you from coming judgment. Jesus is our judge. But the work he's come to do is actually to save people from judgment. And those who receive and believe in the word of Jesus are offered forgiveness by Jesus. They are set free from final condemnation. Judgment day is no longer a day to fear. That's the Son's work, the judge who frees us from judgment. That's verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he's passed from death to life. Passed. That is the word that, as I'm told, is actually often used in the days when this was written in Greek for people when they were moving home or moving neighbourhood. It's a good word, isn't it? You know, you moved house. I've moved from the neighbourhood of judgment and death, and I moved house, and I've moved house into the neighbourhood of forgiveness and life. That's the imagery that's going on there. That is brilliant, isn't it? But what an attractive thing as well. Who wants to say no thank you to that? I want to say yes please, and yeah, thank you God for this wonderful invitation. I do want to move house. You live in a rough neighbourhood, you always want to move a better neighbourhood. A better neighbourhood than a neighbourhood of forgiveness and life and love, freedom. Mathematics and me don't mix at all. For some odd reason, it did make sense at the time. I chose to be an engineer, and I was never really a very good one, and I managed to get out more into sort of management and marketing side in the business world there. But as a result, as I look back on my life, I think that I probably did more retakes than takes. You'll have to take my word for that. It involved mathematics to come to that conclusion, so I may well be wrong there. But can you imagine an exam system in which you were given the results before you even began to revise for the exam? And not only were you given the results before you started revising for the exam, you knew full well they were guaranteed A stars right across the board. All you had to do was trust the examiner. And they were yours. Imagine that. That would have changed my life, I tell you. It does change my life. Totally. Utterly. Completely. Now, the examiner, the judge, offers absolute freedom and forgiveness for that day. We know the result. As we trust him, we can know the result on that day. That's freedom. That is liberty. That is, that's what it is to be a Christian. That's who God is. That's how he acts in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. The Son's work is to free us from judgment.
Of course, this is my second point. That first point assumes this, the people's predicament, your predicament, my predicament, is that we are criminals who are condemned and dead. That's the assumption actually in verse 24. Look again at verse 24. I don't want you to think that I'm just making this up. Look again at verse 24. It talks there, doesn't it, about passing from death to life. It means, it assumes that we are in the neighbourhood of death and judgment. We are condemned criminals. That's what's being assumed there. There are a couple of things that Jesus is not saying in verse 24. Firstly, he's not saying we're as bad as anyone could ever be. He's not saying that you, me, we're not saying you're as bad as Adolf Hitler or Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper. He's saying that we are guilty and cut off from God. That's what he's saying. And second, Jesus is not saying that everything about our eternal destiny comes down to that last moment when we will face him as judge. Jesus does not assume that there's a fence. And a lot of people think this. It's a really common idea that Jesus actually just takes the foundations away from, really. That we assume that there's a fence between life and death and my choice over Jesus and what shall I do? And I'm umming and ahhing on the fence and that you can sit on this fence. Jesus, and this fence is actually between the two neighbourhoods of death and judgment. Judgment and death. And on the other side, it's forgiveness and life, and somehow sit on the fence. Now, Jesus is actually saying, yeah, there is a fence, and the starting point and the actual point where everyone is on the wrong side. It's where you are. You're on the wrong side of the fence. You're in the wrong neighbourhood. You're on the side of judgment and death. And you need a move. In 1995, Tom and Robin's film came out. It's about the death penalty. Don't remember Tom and Robin's film, Doubt the Death Penalty, 1995? It's the story of a caring nun who receives a letter, a plea for help from a man in death row. And Joe actually reminded some of us this on Wednesday evening, earlier in the week. This nun leads the fight to actually stop the sentence being carried through. And the title of the film is actually the words that echo around a prison in the United States when a living man is escorted from his cell to his death. And the title of the film is Dead Man Walking. That's what echoes around, Dead Man Walking. That's the assumption behind what Jesus is saying here, is that outside of him and outside of trusting his word, we're dead men and women walking. The death sentence is as final and as certain as a guy just going from the few minutes from his cell to whatever the death chamber is. It's guaranteed. Dead man walking. That's the predicament of everyone until they come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And so the neighbour we say good morning to at 8 a.m. tomorrow, the man we sit next to on the bus or the train, the colleague we eat our sandwich with at lunchtime, the girl at the till, the man who reads the meter, class 8B at school, the technician in the lab, the lecturer tomorrow, the recovering patient that you've really helped on their way and they're healthy and as they leave the ward. Now, they all have relationship problems, hurts, financial needs, family stress, marriage breakdown and sickness. All of those are heart-wrenching, and don't want to diminish those. They are heart-wrenching and they are desperate needs. But according to Jesus, there's one pressing need that eclipses all of those. It eclipses all of them put together. Already condemned and spiritually dead. And that's why the first point is so wonderful, isn't it? Thank God that he is in the business of dealing with the most serious needs we have. God the Son came to carry out God the Father's work, and it's vital, it's serious work, it's wonderful work, and it really, really matters. It really matters. The offer of forgiveness, the offer of life to every single one of us. Freedom for those who are condemned and dead. It's a wonderful offer. That's there before us. A wonderful offer. We hear the voice of Jesus. We read these words saying to every single one of us. Because that's how the Son works. That's my third point. How does the Son work? How does he achieve this rescue? The Son's voice. Powerful words that achieve his liberating work. Powerful words that that achieve this freeing work. Let me read verses 24 and 29 again, and just to help you concentrate as you're reading through. If you've got your own Bible, if it's not a church Bible, if you've got your own Bible, you've got a pen, just underline a few of these key phrases as I read them out. If it's a church Bible, don't do that, all right? Let me just read verses 24 to 29 again, and just underline some of those key phrases that are there, okay, about Jesus' voice and hearing his voice. Verse 24. Truly, truly, I say, underline the word say, to you, whoever hears my word, underline the word hear, the phrase, hears my word, and believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, underline the next bit, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will, underline the next phrase, hear the voice of the Son of God, underline the next phrase, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. His authority, it's a phrase from the Old Testament, God's authority over the whole earth, that phrase. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice, underline it, hear his voice and come out, and those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Jesus' words, they're the backdrop here, aren't they? They're powerful words, and they have eternal significance. Tonight, I strongly suggest we've heard the voice of Jesus, haven't we? As we read and listen to the Bible. I've no doubt at all that some of the things that I've said from the front will be unsettling, perhaps even offensive to someone here tonight. Talk of judgment and these things always will be, actually. I don't say these things glibly at all. But I would encourage each of us just to consider this. Just to ask, have I not simply explained what Jesus says here? And if you have a problem with the things that are said, it's not with me you have a problem. I hope I explained it clearly enough so that Jesus is your problem, not me. And I want to say, don't take my words for it at all. Don't take my words for anything. Take Jesus' word. Take God's word for it. And cast your eye through again and see if it doesn't fit. It does fit. I'm convinced it fits. I wouldn't stand here saying it. If it is the words, the voice of Jesus that we've heard tonight from the Bible, then how will we respond to him? Well, wouldn't tonight be a great night to take Jesus at his word? Isn't tonight, what a better night than tonight to move house? To move neighbourhoods. That would be great, wouldn't it? To come into this building this evening, living in one neighbourhood, and knowing it's not such a good neighbourhood, and to walk out the door saying, I moved to a new neighbourhood, and it's a great neighbourhood to be in. It's about forgiveness and being liberated and no longer facing a judgment I know I deserve. Wouldn't it be great to do that? To accept what Jesus says about our predicament and to trust his offer of forgiveness? It would be good, wouldn't it, to do that? So for some, this question may be just particularly fitting tonight. Tonight, will you receive and believe Jesus' words to you? Will you do that? In a moment we'll be asking in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, your will be done. Now, well, we know actually one thing that definitely means, don't we, your will be done. You see, we've heard what God's work is all about. We know actually what God does. We know what his Son Jesus does. The Father's been at work and the Son is at work. We know what God wants to do in Sheffield. We don't have to wait around for any more information on this matter. We know that the Son, Jesus Christ, is into rescue.
He is the judge. He liberates people from that judgment. He speaks forgiveness. And he calls people to himself with words. And that's what he's about. And so for many of us, I mean, the choice is leaving this building tonight, saying, yeah, actually, I want this week and in the weeks to come to be godly. I know Jesus, and I want to be like him. And I want to be a part of that work even more. Part of God's work, being like him.